We're so fortunate to have Bill share with us this morning. You know, we prayed over Bill. He's been deployed a few times, and I understand that lots of people ask him to speak, but I caught him in a weak moment. He just woke up. So he didn't have the presence of mind to say no.
Sunday's taking all my thunder away because she is true. Last weekend, I worked most of the weekend as a medic night shift. And Monday, finally around noon, I got to go to bed. And when I woke up to the phone ringing, I reached out and grabbed the phone because you never know who's calling you and if it's important. So the one I opened and I answered the phone and I hear, "Hi Bill, it's Sunny." And the one I was open and I looked out the window and I'm thinking, maybe where you're at, but you're excited. Thankfully, that did not come out of my mouth. I thought ahead of time, but that was exactly what I was thinking. But she's exactly right. This past week, I celebrated my 17th year in the military. And over the years, many, many times I've been asked to speak at Memorial Days, Veteran Days, and Armed Forces Day. And I've never taken an opportunity, and there's many reasons why. But for one, this weekend is a very emotional time for me. And if I get through today without a tear in my eye, I'll be very surprised. Because for us Americans, we have the choice to be here today. We have the freedom to make the decisions we do. And many years ago, actually in the Civil War, the Memorial Day draws its roots. Memorial Day was originally started by a general to remember those fallen during the Civil War. And as time went on, that expanded. After World War I, it went from actually Decoration Day to Memorial Day. And it was the day we remembered those who gave their lives in service of their country. As it went on, in 1971, it became a three-day weekend. However, Memorial Day is actually the 30th of May and always will be. And over the years, they've tried to actually change that, where it's no longer a holiday weekend. It will be observed on May 30th. The reason being is many feel it's lost its significance, because it's a three-day weekend, and for many, it's the start of the summer holiday. They look back, and it's a time when you celebrate with family, picnics, and gatherings. And granted, my family does the same. But again, most people remember the significance of Memorial Day. It's a day we remember those that fell in the service of their country. It's many feel it's a day also to remember veterans, and we thank you for the thank yous you give us. But again, for us, it's a day we remember those that are fallen. When I sat to prepare this week, I did a lot of research, and I'm actually, with the internet, it's very easy to watch speeches of Memorial Day. And it's something that's been very true and part of me. As I prepared, and somebody asked me yesterday, have you written all your notes down? And I haven't. Everything I say today comes from the heart, which to me is who I am. I do have something written down, and when I finish today, there's two names I wrote down that I'll ask you to remember. And yes, I still have many friends that are serving in either Afghanistan or Iraq. And I ask that you keep them in your prayers today also, because on this holiday weekend, they are away from their families. And they are serving their country, and they live in a state of constant fear. Fear may not be the better word, but it's a constant state of vigilance because you never know what's going to happen next. And while we are very well protected over there, you always have that fear of attack or the chance of being injured, wounded, or killed. So please keep them in your minds today. As I went back and I looked and decided what to talk to you today, a lot of you over the years, and one of the reasons I agreed to accept today also, was to say thank you to many of you. And I call you individually, but it gives me the opportunity to say thank you to the group as a whole, because over the past several years, I've been deployed several times, and not always to the Middle East, sometimes I've been for education, training, counter-drug, and looking at the news probably soon out of the border in Arizona. But it's been very easy for me to go for one simple reason. And that reason is, when I go, there's such a support here for my family that it's been a burden I did not have to bear or worry. over the years, and several have done more than others, but everybody has participated in some way, whether it was the phone call to Kelly, you know, County keeping Kelly sane, or if it was Mr. Dunn coming over to extricate Caleb from his crib when his head stuck between the rails, or this past deployment when John came and plowed my driveway every time it snowed. Or Victor, who came once when Kelly had a snake, as she described, the size of her arm in her basement, and Victor later told me it was the size of a pencil. But somebody has always been there, and it's been very easy for me to leave knowing that, and I thank you very much for that. And you guys have always been there, and I hope in the future, I know my enlistment is coming up soon, and I feel I have to ask permission to re-enlist from you guys before I do, but rest assured, I still haven't decided it's either going to be another 3-year or 6-year dish, and then that'll probably be my last. So, one more, and I ask for your continued dedication and support, and I will hopefully end it after 3 to 6 years. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about today is the Wounded Warrior Project. And it's a project I became very, very familiar with several years ago on my first deployment. And during that deployment, one of the jobs I had was as a medic. And I was a medic with our Combat Logistics Patrol, which is our convoy team that would go out and deliver goods outside the wire. And we also protected several of our decals that would go out. Because on the news, you see a lot of the bad news, because bad news apparently sells, but you never see the good news. You never see the story of the schools we built, the medical clinics, the wells, the wastewater treatment facilities. That's all something we've done when we've been deployed. But again, it's not very newsworthy. Well, as I functioned as a medic, and I did an in-service or a program with the Army where I was actually able to fly in medevacs. Because a lot of the Army and military medics are trained at a different level as we are civilians. And there's not as many roles. But as a civilian medic, my training was a little bit more extensive. So they asked me to come in and train some of the medics. And my agreement to them was, I'd be more than happy to, but I wanted to fly with you. And they allowed me to do that. The care of our wounded soldiers in theater is very, very intensive and very aggressive. Our casualty rates compared to other wars are very, very low when you look at numbers. And the reason being is the military and the government has provided a lot of money, technology, training, and the services that we utilize. When we were in Iraq, if you called for a medevac was on the ground within 10 minutes, and you were at a trauma center within 5 minutes, which is faster than what you will get to a trauma center, usually in Schuylkill County. And it was because of the assets we had placed and the training that people received that we were able to keep many of those soldiers, airmen, Marines, sailors alive during those periods. One of the times when I was at the hospital, there were soldiers that came in, and there were representatives from a company, and at the time it was relatively new, which was Wounded Warrior Project. When someone's injured and we come out and get you, we don't always land at a base. Sometimes it was a street corner, sometimes it was a field. Sometimes it was a hostile landing zone, although we've signed the change of convention, many others have not. And although our medevacs are unarmed for many of the insurgents we fight against, that big red cross on the side is a target. So the birds aren't able to defend themselves, but they'll still go into a hot LZ to pick up one of those wounded soldiers. When we bring them into the hospital, they have what they have on their backs. Many never get to go back to their units. Many never have the support or any of the creature comforts they had before. So what Wounded Warrior Project would do in country was provide them basic needs, whether it was underwear, t-shirt, sweatpants, anything they needed to get by and to live in the hospital. Basic toiletries, because believe it or not, that's one thing, nobody likes to be in a hospital robe with your backside open. So they started giving them t-shirts and shorts to wear. Later on, when we send them out of country, if they're going for follow-on care back to the States or Germany, again, they only had a hospital robe. So the Wounded Warrior Project started as a way to give them clothes to wear and also the basic toiletries they needed on the way back. Wounded Warrior back in the United States also does much of the same. They do it at the big medical treatment facilities, where they provide stuff to wounded soldiers, but they also help their families. And part of that is providing housing for families that come in, because if someone's wounded, they may be in that hospital for several months or years. So the Wounded Warrior Project would put the families up in housing or hotels, either temporarily or permanently, to assist them to be near that wounded service member. They've also provided training for people that cannot go back to their normal jobs. One of the things with the life-saving abilities and keeping so many people alive is the fact that we do have a lot of amputees and people that have severe physical wounds that normally in past wars would have perished. So they actually go out and assist those members in finding a career and providing training so that they can continue to work and not sit and live off the system. So in many ways, they've been a guardian angel to many of us. And like I said, they do it both in country and they do it right here at home. So I asked Sonia, one of the conditions of speaking today, was to put an offering out and keep them in your mind. Because to me, they've been a charitable organization that I've contributed to, and I've always wanted to contribute to someone who's assisting us help our own. And as American soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, they're our own, and they need to be taken care of. While the VA provides excellent medical care, because I like to speak as myself from being hurt when I was overseas, the medical care we receive is top-notch. There's been articles in the paper years ago where they criticized the treatment we got in certain facilities, but I can assure you that is not normally the case. Our care and treatment has been phenomenal. The follow-up care has been phenomenal. And anything we needed, or anything we needed in our recovery process was always there for us. So please, keep them in mind at the end of the day. There's two names I wanted to read to you today. And like I said, at Memorial Day, it's very emotional, but it's a time to remember those that have fallen. And while I don't know either one of these names, they're two Schuylkill Countyans that gave their lives in the service of their country. So at some point this week, I ask that you pray for them and keep them in your prayers. Because we've lost over 5,000 in the war of terror, two from local. So at some point this weekend, tomorrow at 3 o'clock is a moment of remembrance. Keep them all in your prayers, but keep these two. Specifically because they are from our area. And they did make the ultimate sacrifice. And the two names from our area, one is someone very local, Sergeant Jennifer Hartman from New Ringgold, who perished in 2006, and Captain David Boris from Pottsville. Both died in the war on terror within the last few years. So I ask, please keep them and their families in mind. Excuse me. Over the past several years, as I said, we have lost over 5,000 in the war on terror, which is a war that we did not start. We were attacked on September 11th. And many people have questioned if the sacrifices are worth the price. And if you ask anybody in the military, as with anything else, if I want to count us up, you get 10 different answers. But I can tell you from the people in my unit and my own personal opinion, it has been a costly battle, but it has been a battle that has been worthwhile also. Because we've liberated one country and we're currently occupying the other. And hopefully they're able to stand up also. But in Iraq, when I was there, one thing that, again, as the news never really portrays, is the fact that those people, the Iraqis, wanted us there. When we were out in the villages or outside the wire, we would often be able to interact with local people. And those people wanted us to stay because they would thank you religiously. When I first got in country, it was the 2 days after the election, the first election in Iraq in over 40 years. And one of the things, as you drive down one of the highways or back roads, people would raise their hand to you. And at first I didn't understand what they were trying to convey us because we were relatively new in country. And one of the guys that we worked with who had been there a little bit longer was, they're not waving at you, they're showing you their finger. I said, the middle finger? And he said, no. He said, every person that voted in that election had their finger dipped in ink to prove that they voted once and cannot vote again. And he said, what they're showing you is they're proud of the fact that they were able to vote for the first time in 40 years, and they're thankful for you. So it was very nice to see the appreciation there. When we later got out and we talked with people, again, very appreciative, and they wanted us to stay. From guys I know that were in Iraq this past deployment, he said most of the people do not want us to leave because they feel comfortable with us there. But again, that's never really portrayed. When we were there, and again, when I was in Iraq, it was 2005, another fact that was never really portrayed was the fact of who we were fighting. Many people think we're fighting Iraqis, and it's the Iraqi insurgency that's against us, and it wasn't. 90% of the people, I don't want to call them soldiers, the insurgents that we fought against, and either captured or killed or wounded, and yes, we take care of the wounded, were not Iraqis. They were Syrians, Iranians, Saudi Arabians, and Egyptians. So when you get the mentality of thinking that the Iraqis are fighting against us, they weren't. The Iraqis wanted us there and wanted us to stay. It was the insurgents from different countries, the jihadists, as you will, that were fighting against us. So the portrayal always seemed like the country was fighting and did not want us there. But in reality, from my experience, they never wanted us to leave and still do not want us. Afghanistan's a little bit different. Well, most of the fighters that we fight against are pretty much the same background. Very few are Afghanis. Because although the Afghanis are more hesitant with us because they're more of a tribal people, and in all honesty, Afghanistan is a very rural country. There's not very amenities, and there's not very much comfort of living. One of the things that we've done in Iraq or Afghanistan, and one of our main jobs over there was actually drilling wells so people can have clean water for the first time. Because there is a lot of disease and pestilence in Afghanistan. So a lot of our missions actually were humanitarian based. And we try to win the will of the people to get them on our side and to continue doing what we're doing, which is try to get them to have a free, democratic, elected government. And as I said, freedom is something that we, as Americans, sometimes take for granted. We never are told what we need to do. We have the freedom. Yes, we have laws we must follow, but we have the freedom to make choices in life. And those choices are very different. Very different and broad. I've never been told what I needed to go to school for. I've never been told I needed to join the military or defend our country. There are choices I made and choices I'm very proud I've made. So in closing, again, this weekend, remember the true purpose of Memorial Day weekend. Remember it's the time to sit and pray and remember those fallen warriors. And as I said, please remember Sergeant Jennifer Hartman and Captain David Boris. Two locals who gave their life in the war on terror. There's one quote I'm going to leave you with today that's been a quote I've followed my whole life, and it's been one from, I was very young when it was said, but it's something I've always agreed with. It was a quote by Ronald Reagan during the Cold War. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on to them to do the same. Or we'll spend our sunset years telling our children what it looks like to be free in America. So again, as I invite you go, and before you go outside, please keep in your prayers those departed soldiers. And remember, if for anything else, do it as a personal favor for me. And thank you.
Never take our freedom for granted.